What's going on, everyone? It's me, Mubarak. Basel also here, as usual. Welcome to another episode of Ball Benders, the place where we get all of the football information, bend it, and deliver it straight to your doorstep. And today's guest is the one and only Sam Soji, former player of Brentford, Leeds United, West Bromwich Albion. I could go on and on about this guy. Also played in the Premier League for Reading at some point. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The pandemic has been out here. How have you and the family been staying safe and keeping safe?
I was in Nigeria at the beginning of the whole thing, but I had to come back. So it's good. Sometimes you don't realize how much time you spend away. So spending time with the family was really good.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, Sam. It's actually very exciting to have an ex-Premier League player with us. That's a great privilege. So welcome again.
Thank you.
You know, unfortunately, your former side, Brentford, couldn't gain promotion automatically to play in the Premier League. Although I know you love that side very much. But then two of your former side as well, Leeds and West Bromwich Albion, they are back. Have you been following the games?
Yeah, don't jinx Brentford, you know. They might make it through the playoffs. So they might still go up, you know. So we're looking to see them win the playoff, Brentford. But yeah, I've been following the games. It's good to see West Brom go up and Leeds, most important Leeds. I played for Leeds. I know how big Leeds is. I don't think people know how massive or huge Leeds football club is. So it will shock the people to see how big the fan base is. But yeah, I'm delighted that Leeds is back in the Premier League. But yeah, hopefully Brentford can still make it through the playoffs.
All right. I want you to educate us a bit about the origins of your football.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, as you know, I was born in London, went back to Nigeria when I was 4 years old and grew up in Nigeria. So I played all my youth football back in Nigeria, back in a place called Warri, which is a tough place if you're from Nigeria. So I played all my football there. And I think I came back when I was 19, came back to London, looking to sign for a Premier League club, a championship club at the time, which was Huddersfield. Steve Bruce was the manager, and I think I was going to sign on a Monday, and he got sacked on the Friday. So
That's a bad thing.
So I had to go to like all the way to start from the bottom, and not just the bottom, proper bottom. So I started from a club called Sheffield FC, not Sheffield Wednesday, not Sheffield United, Sheffield FC, like a non-league team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I started from there, and I played 6 months. I think I was a bit too good for the league, and then I got a chance to sign for a conference side. I'm sure you know about football in the UK.
Yeah.
So a conference side is like a lower division. So they bought me for a pair of.
Did you at any point play Sunday league?
No. The Sheffield FC was really low, but I didn't care, and I was happy I played there because it gave me the chance to understand English football, you know, because I was a totally different player when I came from Nigeria. I was more skillful, you know, more European kind of player, not an English-based player. So playing for Sheffield FC was really good.
How different was it when you were playing at Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield?
How old was I?
Yeah, how different was it?
It was totally different. It was like an eye opener. It was different. Yeah. It was like more tackling, more stronger, getting the gym, you know, the pushing of the ball if you're not ready.
I would
hit the ball every time.
Technically wise, are they very good when it comes to
technicality? No disrespect to them, but technically, it wasn't about it. Technically, it was more about strength, power.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah.
Yeah, heart. You know,
so it would resemble a Sunday league football.
Exactly. Just a little bit higher, a little bit more controlled, more professional, more than Sunday league. But is that kind of football? Is that kind of football? You know. So it was
quite interesting.
Yeah. So people didn't know that. So I got bought with pairs of bibs and balls to Stevenage. That's what it paid.
Stevenage are a very good start for an English career, actually.
Yeah, but they are, at the time I played for them, they were in the conference. So it was the same thing, that, you know, the way they played, the way I really had a very good English education playing football for Stephen Ash, and it didn't start there as well. I played the season, and the new manager came in and didn't fancy me, and I was let go. No, I left, and I went down again to a club called Margate. Margate was in the conference as well, but a lower team to Stevenage, and that's where it all started. And I had, I think, a year, 6 months with Margate, and got so many goals.
Sorry to cut you. Were you always a defender?
I was, you know, but people always ask me this because I play more like a because I score more goals, and I know, but because I grew up
in the headers, headers, man. People talking about Sergio Ramos these days. Meanwhile, man was already doing it back in the day, man. The headers were. We were always scoring from headers.
Too much. Yeah, I was getting double figures this season, man. So it was really. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was getting probably 9-10 goals for Mag at the time. It was lots of goals.
Incredible for a defender.
Exactly. But every club I played for knew how dominant I was in the air. So the whole set piece was planned around me. So it gave me the chance to score more goals.
So when you were playing with Sheffield FC, were there any scouts that kept eyes on you or certain other players in that?
They were. But to be fair with you, it didn't really work that way because there a lot of, at that time I was playing non-league. A few players came from non-league to go all the way to the league. So they don't really, you hardly get scouts going to watch non-league football at that time. So it was more of a academic players was moving up, but this was non-league. And I think my set, or just before my set, were the first set of players that started making it from non-league. Mm.
Any of your mates who also made it big in football?
From non-league?
Yeah, like all of them, the guys you played with from non-league, you just talked about Stephen Ash. Any of them also made it as big as you?
A player called DJ Campbell. A player called DJ Campbell, you might know him.
Dudley Junior Campbell.
Campbell. We played together at Stephen Ash as well. So he made it all the way. I think we have one or two or three, but it was really hard. It was hard to go all the way from conference to Premier, not just Premier, to go to the league. To go into the league was hard. So, but I went to Margate and played against a club called Barnet. A manager called Martin Allen was the manager of Barnet. And I had a great game. I played really well, just smashing the players. And,
That's exciting.
And he didn't like it. And that was how it all started. And the next season, I was at home. My phone rang, and it was Martin Allen who said, come to my club, I want to sign you.
You grew up in Warri, Nigeria, just like you said, and Greenwich, that's South London.
Yeah, I was born in London. I was born in Greenwich. Yeah.
Okay. Two obviously very, very tough environments to grow up, as you just talked about, gangs, violence. Was it very hard for you to stay out of trouble?
I don't think Greenwich is that bad. I don't think Greenwich was that bad at the time. I think Warri was a tough place. I didn't know anything different. Football was my thing, and I was lucky enough to be very talented at a young age. So I was they cherished me. Like even the bad boys would look after me because I was like the little star, you know. So I didn't have a problem with the gang because they looked after me. So even though I wanted to join the gang, they wouldn't let me join because I had talent.
I see. That's quite a tough environment.
Growing up, did you support a Premier League team growing up?
No, not English team. I was really? More a fan of Italian football. You know, I was more a fan of Italian football.
Which
I love
team?
Italian players. Not actually a team because you know I didn't support a team. Mm-hmm. I don't support a team now. It was more of the players. It was more of the Cannavaro. It was more of the Iniesta's and the Maldini's, them lot. So I just wanted to play like them.
You looked up to the best of the best, Maldini.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you watch me play, you understand what I'm saying now, because that's how I play.
That's really good. And at one point, did you really start to believe that football was the way to go?
Oh, no. I said, I was like cocky when I was young. I was like, I was thinking I should be playing in Real Madrid. So I really believed from a very young age that, you know, football was what I wanted to do. But when it all started, or the professionalism of football, was when I went to Brentford, and I knew it wasn't just the talent, it was more than talent. You know, it was more your attitude and more how professional you can be. So yeah, from a young age, I thought I should be playing. But when I got to Brentford, it then dawned on me that, you know, it's more than just having a talent.
Okay, as a defender style of play, you say you prefer to play as Maldini. Nowadays, there are only a few defenders who does the same style of play, and people often criticize Van Dijk for always going back and not attacking the attacker. What would you say about this style of play? Is it the preferred way to defend?
Oh no, I was lucky enough to play in both areas, like the old ways and the new ways. There's something you call defensive coaching. You know, what they're doing now is the right thing, because you have to defend properly. And then there's different ways of defending. And the Maldini's time where they were different, they didn't hold the line. So it was hard to get space behind for strikers to run into. And then it came to the point where defenders held the line. So by the moment, there's ways you defend. I was lucky enough to have come across some top defensive coaches who really coach you how to defend. So the way they defend now is the right way to defend, as long you stop the ball from going in the net. But the difference from our time and now is we want to be a defender. We were defenders. You know, we want to head the ball. We want to tackle. You know, but even though I was good on the ball, I still wanted to tackle. So yeah, to answer your question is the way to defend is what they do now, to make sure you delay people, you step up, you know where to go down, you know, you shoot them in line. So there's different ways of defending, but it all goes down to the coaching side of things.
Okay. So as you just said, you would prefer the more calm approach of a defender, not so much like, I would say, Pepe from Real Madrid, more aggressive. Would you agree?
No. I would agree with that, you don't want to be tackling people and firing people. You know, there's better ways to get the ball off strikers. You do that, you know. But the Pepe way, the Ramos way, you know, you need someone like that in your team as well. You know, you try. I was like that. I got sent a lot. I put in my tackles. I was really hard. But you know, you learn every time you grow up and you play different strikers, you learn. So football's change, and I will always go for the tackling and the tough defender, and as long as you do the job, I think it's the best way to defend.
So who do you think are the top three defenders right now in world football?
Oh, definitely Ramos will be up there. Definitely, I think Ramos will be up there. Van Dijk will definitely be there. And who else do we have there? Was the guy from last year? Was it last year?
Napoli. Koulibaly.
Napoli. But yeah, him. I rate him too. So yeah, these guys they've got different paths. They're strong, quick. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Ramos.
Yeah, are you a big fan of Real Madrid as well? Because you seem like it.
No, it's funny. It's funny to be fair with you. I don't really support any football club. I'm a London boy, so. So I'm probably always happy when London teams win.
You didn't have any team to support when you were growing up?
I wasn't a fan of to support a team. I just loved the Italian football, Italian defenders. But yeah, I know you're trying to get me to say I support a club. I'm being honest, I just support a club.
Okay. Okay, fair play. We're going to divert a little bit from football and we're going to go into pop culture and music. So what music are you into?
Yeah, I love my the new song, the new tune coming out now in America. I love that one. But I'm more Afrobeat kind of guy, and I'm always you always meet me playing Afrobeat.
What are your expectations for next season?
I'm looking forward to it because the way Liverpool played this season and the way some other clubs finish the season off, it shows you how tough next season is going to be. So I'm looking forward to next season because there's some, and that's why we love the Premier League. Yeah, because there's too many clubs in the Premier League to make you want to watch it because you don't know who's going to win it.
That's true. What are you going to make of your former club, Leeds United? How do you think are they going to do?
Oh, guys, trust me. You guys don't even know what's coming. Leeds United is something else, man. I played there. I don't think you guys know how big the club is.
It's a very big league, yeah.
Huge.
It's a huge
fan base. Fan base is ridiculous. I'm telling you now, they're top three clubs in England, in the Premier League. a top three.
In terms of fan base.
In terms of fan base. Yeah. Easy.
I've seen how crazy they went after the promotion. I have to agree. And they have this huge rivalry with Man United.
Believe me. You see what you saw on that day? That's how every home game.
Wow.
You just imagine having that atmosphere every week. That's what Leeds is about. Leeds is so huge, and the fans are so passionate. And because Leeds United is the only club in Leeds, and maybe that's why they're passionate. But it's a very huge club. I'm looking forward to them being in the Premier League.
I'm actually getting very excited for next season just because we're going to witness Leeds versus Manchester United again. That's going to be madness.
So who do you support?
I support Liverpool. No, I support Liverpool.
But
I'm also excited for. I watch every Premier League game as best as I could.
And it's a good league.
Yeah, it's an exciting league. It's my favorite league.
Yeah.
But I've also been catching on some championship action lately.
With all the
madness that's been going. What did you make of the recent highlights of the championship? Do you think it's fair that Leeds and West Brom made it?
Oh, it's fair. It's only fair. They played all season, doing good all season. I'm gutted for Brentford because they did well. But I hope Brentford goes to the playoff, but they might go to the playoff. They've got a new stadium as well, Brentford. I've been invited to come for the opening, so I'm hoping that when I go, it will be for the Premier League games. Leeds United and West Brom deserve to go up, and Leeds definitely has to go up. And I think it's only fair. But the Championship is a tough league. To come out of the Champions League to go to the Premier League,
it's probably in the top 10 best leagues in the world.
I think it could be top 6.
Yeah, top 6.
Top 6, top 6.
You could argue
definitely.
Top 6 as well. Yeah,
The standard is really high. You know, the amount of games you play in the Championship, and it's so high. I played in that league for so long, and I know how the difference between the Championship and the Premier League, it's very impressive to have a good time in the Champions League for years and years and years. You have to give them credit.
Absolutely true. And who did you make out as the best performer of the season from the Championship?
In the Premier League? Championship?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, that'll be hard for me because I didn't really watch the game, like pick the players and watch, game after game. I didn't do that, but I like the way Brentford were about the business, played so well. I watched a game. I watched a couple of Brentford game at home, so I like the way they did it. But because I know how Leeds is, I know how the fans are going to be getting promotion. I went to a playoff with Leeds, and I know the pressure that the players went through to be able to come through. And so I know the club. So I think it must be the Beckford for Leeds United, who scored so many goals.
Said Ben Rahma.
Exactly.
He actually won the best player of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely they did well. I'm happy for them. Very happy.
He's an Algerian guy, and he kind of resembles Riyad Mahrez in some way. He has the same trickery about him, and
he's
a good winger. So it's going to be very exciting to see Brentford hopefully qualify for Premier League.
Hopefully.
It's going to be very tight for the playoffs. So who are you cheering to go to the final and probably secure Premier League promotion?
Yeah, during my time, playing, I went to probably 6 to 7 playoff finals. So I know how tough it is. The team that goes all the way to become third, they always struggle in the playoffs, because get themselves out. It's hard.
The morale drop a little bit.
They
just missed out on second place.
Exactly. And I had that 2 seasons, in a row where you just missed out by 1 point. And it's really tough. So I hope Brentford does it, because if Brentford has beaten the other teams twice all season, so they look a good team, but the playoffs is a one game off, so you cannot talk about their record in the playoffs. So it's gonna be tough. It's hard to say what team that is gonna go up, but let's see how it goes. Hopefully Brentford do it.
So you said you played in the playoff final how many times?
I got to the playoffs. I got the playoffs about five times in my career.
And how many times you played the final?
Once with West Brom.
But he did not win it.
Nah. Okay. We lost to Derby.
The only time you promoted to the Premier League was with Reading.
I went to Reading when we went up to the Premier League at Reading. So I signed for Reading in the Premier League.
Oh, so you didn't make it up with them?
No, they gave promotion and they signed me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. You have retired from football and doing very well for your family and yourself. Very proud of you, I must say. Let's talk about life after retirement.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Like, I was lucky. I was lucky enough. I'm lucky. At that time, I thought it was a breakdown because when I left Brentford to sign for Reading with big money, I got injured in the last game of the season. So I got injured going to a Premier League club. So it was a heartbreaker for me, but at the same time, the doctor said to me I might not play again. And I was lucky enough to play another 8 years. But I think that was where I knew football wasn't going to last forever. And I said to myself, I have to back myself up with something else. And I found something I was interested in doing. And I went back to college and educated myself a little bit, you know. So I knew what was happening before I retired. So life after sport came to me, wasn't a shock, because every footballer will tell you it's always a shock when you finish football, you know. Life after sport was planned.
That's actually very, very good to hear, because many footballers, they just live the moment and indulge themselves and they do not think about what's going to come.
I can't blame them, because at the end of the day, I started playing when I was very young. I started playing when I was like 15, 16. So all we knew was football. But at the same time, you have to have the right people around you. And I was advising someone yesterday, a young player, I won't call his name, a Nigerian international, very young. And I asked him a question, you know, have you got a plan for like a sport? His response to me really broke my heart. I couldn't believe how players would know. And he said to me, life after sport for me is too far away. And I went, wow. You know, that's where the education comes in. Because life after sport might be tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. You never know, because there's no guarantee.
You never know. No. Every day you go to training.
Yeah, you might get injured.
Might be your last day.
Yeah. That's true. So what's your advice for the new wave of footballers coming in?
How do you mean? Like advice?
Yeah, for the new generation of football players.
Oh yeah, like you know, listen to people like us, because what made me become who I am is I had role models of ex-Premier League players come to the dressing room to talk to me when I was playing. So all I say to them, you know, football doesn't last forever. You have to educate yourself. And when I say education, it might not be a degree, but it might be something to fall back to. Like you might be a carpentry, or you might be doing something interesting that will get you out of bed when you finish playing. And I think that's what they should be doing. But I know it's tough, it's hard when you're playing football, and you're telling someone to do something else. That's when you have people around you that knows what to do. But yeah, you have to plan from now, life after football. So that's my advice to them, to make sure you start planning from now, because life after football might be tomorrow.
That's quite true. So going back to Premier League action and your football history, who was your most notable opponent that you played against?
In my own football, like who was more?
Yeah. Who was the hardest to play against?
It's funny, you'll be surprised. I played against the Van Nistelrooy. I played against the Henry. I played against who else? I played Ronaldo. I played them all in the Premier League, Championship. But there's one player that, you know, I had no problem with pace or strength or how to jump. I had no problem. So playing against the Henry and the Ronaldo wasn't a problem. You know, but the player that I really hated playing against was a player called Kevin Phillips. You might not know him.
Yeah, Phillips.
Kevin Phillips was really, it was tricky for me, because he played with his eyes and his brain, and he wasn't quick, so he was more sharp and he took his chances. So I think Kevin Phillips was someone I didn't like in that game because he always scores.
What team did he play for?
He played for West Brom. He played for He played for a couple of teams. He played for Sunderland. Yeah, but
he played for Sunderland.
Sunderland. He scored so many goals, you know. But yeah, people are always surprised. I played against Kamara. I played them lot. I played against everyone in the Premier League or Championship. I had no problems playing against them. But Kevin Phillips was tricky. It was really tricky. So I would say Kevin Phillips.
And
problems with my network a bit. I apologize. I'm back now.
That's fine. Yeah. So I'll give you the mic then. Go ahead.
I don't know if I've missed this question, but I was just curious to know, since you've lived in London before, you've lived in Warri, Nigeria, which of them two would you rather live in?
It's different. When I was playing, I definitely like to live in London because of football. But to be honest with you, I grew up in Warri. I grew up in Nigeria. I'm more of a Nigerian boy. But yeah, my family's in London. If I have my chance, I will probably go to Nigeria. At the moment, I work closely with the Delta State government, so I'm more in Nigeria. But yeah, when I was working, London is my house, it's my place. I love it. You know, I'm a typical London boy, but at the same time, I think old age, I'll prefer to go to Nigeria.
Your older brother, Efe, he was famous for going to the World Cup in 2002. Yeah. And he created an identity with his durags. People call it bandana out here in Nigeria. Is there a backstory to this?
No. Efe was just, he just wanted to wear it. I think my mom liked it, so he just kept on wearing it. there's no voodoo or whatever people think.
No.
If he just loved it.
Curious to know if there is a backstory to it if you are footballers, you guys always have a very funny story to something. Like Daniel's story, he used to do a very funny dance. He said he just started in training as a very naughty plan. Yeah, it just went on and on. Everyone talking about the Daniel story dance. Just wanted to know if there is.
No, it's more of he just liked wearing it and it stuck by him and it made him popular, so he just kept wearing it.
Yeah, it looked very good actually.
Yeah,
I was a young boy in 2002, but then I was looking at Efe. I was telling mom,
it was famous.
He had a dude, I forgot one.
Yeah.
Where's Efe now, by the way?
Efe lives in Manchester. Efe was a coach at Macclesfield. Now he works as a scout for Sheffield United. So he does coaching for the UK. So he's doing well, but he's based in Manchester.
You have two other brothers. You have Onome as well. Onome was like very destined to play in the Premier League. At some point, I think he played for, was it Watford?
Barnsley.
There was big expectations for him. Where is he right now? Yes, people, that's a wrap for the first part of this interview. Thank you and big love to man like Sam Sojay for making this possible, an absolutely surreal experience. We're back before you know with part two, so make sure you keep tabs with us on Twitter. Our handle is at ballbenders, ballbenders spelled, of course, with a Z. Until then, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff.